My employer requires your services, gentlemen. One job, one day's work. I have been asked by my employer...
Very dangerous.
...to bring a proposal.
He does not expect all of you to live.
He does not expect all of you to live.
Do it. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, a weekly podcast where we talk about pretty much whatever comes to mind. And we should probably take this opportunity to tell you that sometimes we talk about sensitive things. So, if you're easily offended, maybe you should stop listening right now.
So what you want me to do?
Let's get started. The Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast is made possible by Mark Charter Real Estate. Buying or selling? No one offers more than Mark Charter. Free moving truck, free storage, flexible commission plans, and more. Read more than 100 satisfied client reviews at markcharter.com. Now, on with the show.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Please welcome your host, Mark Charter.
I'm sorry I was born with this perfect bone structure, that my hair looks better done up with gel and mousse than hidden under a stupid hat with a light on it.
Adam Gray.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
And Chris Williams.
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. His name is Mark Charter. He does real estate for a living. You can check out his website. Damn, I think it's markcharter.com.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
I don't know what that was all about, but...
Muy bien.
I'm just saying hello to our Spanish-speaking friends.
Do we have anybody, like, bilingual folks who are
listening? Has to be.
Sure. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Okay, stop. Nobody cares.
Con tu adiós te levas mi corazón.
What's up, guys?
Nothing. It's been a light week. I haven't taken any hatred on the message boards or anything this week. I've been laying low.
I told people to go easy on you.
That's what it was?
I was going to bring the hate on the podcast this week.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Go ahead. Bring the hate.
No, I'm just waiting for him to say something stupid, and then I'll bring it.
Shouldn't have to wait very long.
We have a lot of listeners out there that I think are waiting for me to have to eat some crow, and I was right about Tech. I was right about TCU. And
Were you right about TCU?
Yeah.
You were?
I said they were going to cover. Yeah, I was predicting that they would cover the spread, which they did.
I don't think Iowa State played that badly.
They didn't. But actually, people should be proud of me.
If you would have told me 45-21 on Friday, I would have been like, hell yeah, sign me up for that.
What a loser mentality.
Well, it's realistic.
No, it's a loser mentality.
Nah, it is realistic. No, I agree with Williams on this one.
People are acting like TCU's is, I mean, I know they're ranking, they're third in the country, but they're not that great of a team.
But people are going to like my score prediction this week. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah, because of a hurricane.
Yeah.
Hey, you play the elements that you're in, man. Don't. It is what it is. It's all good.
Can we talk? Or no, we don't need to talk too much about last week and how we.
I know that you've been just. There's nothing I can add to it that I haven't said already. If you guys want to.
No, people are going to think I'm crazy for saying this. It was a game that Iowa State. It was a winnable game that they let get away again last week. I'm not saying Iowa State should have won. I'm not saying Iowa State was better than TCU because they weren't and they shouldn't have won. But where it stood and the momentum early on in that game, it was a winnable game if they, once again, just make the basic plays. Here's the thing. Other teams, if Sam Richardson throws a ball and it gets tipped in a pick, okay, another team made a play, right? Mm-hmm. Or if a guy sticks you hard and you fumble the ball, the other team forced to fumble. But when you fumble on a pitch,
yeah,
when it's all it is 100% your mistake, that's tough to swallow, right? I mean, you have Trevor Ryan wide open for a pass in the flats that probably gone for 40 yards and you miss him, that's a mistake that wasn't forced. It was a mistake that you made. And those are the plays right now that Iowa State – continues to make in a bad way that are hurting them from having chances to win games that, let's be honest, you have to play near perfect to win that game. And there was opportunities, and they did it. It's frustrating.
Isn't that what bad teams do, though?
Yeah,
good,
I know.
Good teams make plays, bad teams don't.
And so we're a bad team because of that. But, you know, you're sitting here saying 45-21, I would have taken that last week.
I would have, because I thought it was going to be worse.
I agree with Chris.
I thought the whole time it was a game that we'd be close in, and we were for three quarters until Rhodes decided to punt on fourth and three from the 40-yard line.
I was sitting there watching the game knowing that was driving you crazy.
I actually, for the first time in my life, I booed only for like half a second. I stopped.
You went,
I'm not a booer at all, but I was so pissed when he decided to send
Why does he do it? In your opinion, why does he do it?
I couldn't tell you. I wish I could give some sort of reasoning, but he had to have known what you knew, Chris, what you knew, Mark, and what I knew. When he punted that, the game was over.
But why does the philosophy change then at that point of the game, mm-hmm. when he does that versus what he was doing early in the game with the fake punts and things like that? Because that mentality was, we're trying to win it. We're going to do what it takes.
Yep.
The fourth and three punt suggests the opposite of that.
I agree. I maybe Rhodes thinks he can only go for it on fourth down like once a game. Like he's got like a cap.
We had a caller on Cyclone Reaction that kind of echoed my thoughts that I was having a hard time putting into words at that time and even into print. The caller was like, you know, it was almost as like we were the phrase I like to use, playing with your hair on fire, right? And mm-hmm. coaching with your hair on fire.
It's what we had to do to win.
Opinion. Yeah. And then once it became like in the coach's minds, a winnable game, you know, once you're like right there.
Yeah. You tense up
then,
almost.
Yeah. No, that was basically how the caller laid it out, which made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you've got this, and they flat out, again, I don't want to, I've said this a million times this week and I don't want to bore our audience, but they got, Iowa State's offensive coaching is just, I mean, to give it a letter grade on the year, I would give it an F-. Like these defensive coordinators are coaching in circles around these guys in the second half, specifically Iowa and TCU.
I heard something,
and that's exactly what happened on Saturday.
I don't expect you to say this is right or wrong. That's not why I'm bringing it up, but it's an interesting perspective. I was talking to somebody, you know, my sources are the people that know people, you know, so take it with a grain of salt. But this person was telling me the other day that they had it on good authority that the offensive coaching staff up at Iowa State hates each other. Nobody gets along on that staff, and they hate each other. Now, again, true, untrue, I don't know.
I don't know, but that seems a little extreme.
But if it was true, makes some sense that they don't have their S together. I won't swear. Gray will. But
that seems a little irresponsible to just be throwing around.
I'm not throwing it around, Chris.
That's what you just did.
No, it's a secondary source.
I'm relaying what somebody told me.
Yeah, I know. But like, I think it's all hearsay. I think we
for
need
sure
to make
it is.
Clear.
For sure it is.
Yeah.
But I'm also not a member of the press, so I don't have to.
If you were, you'd fit right in now. So I don't know.
Shot at the press. Shot fired.
Considering
fire.
Adam's a member of the media too, even if he doesn't want to admit it.
I had two.
What we do. It's how we make a living.
I got sources on certain things too that I might.
Two quick takeaways from the game, and then let's move past that filth and get on to this week's filth. Two quick takeaways. One was the comment that everyone saw Rhodes make about the pass. The best play of the game, Rhodes said the pass shouldn't have been made. Probably shouldn't have been made.
Groan.
That comment sucked, and he shouldn't have made it. That's only going to make his quarterback feel bad for making that pass. That's one of those comments that, why say it? Who knows?
I don't even mind it from making the quarterback feel bad. I mind it from just an offensive philosophy standpoint.
Don't chuck it to your best guy.
Yeah. Why recruit Alan Lazard if you're not going to throw the ball to him in single coverage? I mean, that's the issue I have with
problem,
it.
That's Rhodes, he talked himself into a corner, because then like the thing he said right after it is, well, even though most of the time Allen's going to erase the mistake anyways.
Yeah.
Well, the point in having a good player.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Jake Knott and A.J. Klein erased a lot of crap on that Iowa State defense those years because they were great players, you know?
Did Gary Patterson say, man, Boykin really shouldn't have thrown the ball to Doxson on that one play that he caught? Yeah. No, of course not, because Doxson's a stud, and you throw the ball to him.
Rhodes also had an anchorman type statement in that conference where he said something along the lines of 70% of the time it works all the time when he was referring to that play. He said
Sex Panther?
Yeah, Sex Panther by Odeon. He said he was talking about that play, though, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he was saying something along the lines of, you know, most like oftentimes it works all the time. It was just a, I don't know, it was a crazy phrase. But anyway, the second point was, it sucks that he always comes to these realizations after the game is over. Like in this one, he said, we should have run it more. after the game is over.
So you and I looked at that
a few days later.
We looked at that differently because I actually gave him credit for that because it's not very often you hear a guy.
But why aren't you doing it during the game?
Well, because clearly they got out coached. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's a big why. I gave Rhodes credit because I've very rarely do you see a guy in that position be like, yeah, we were wrong. You know,
well,
I mean, that was refreshing to me because you don't see D1 coaches do that very often.
And when he says that, to a certain point, he's throwing his offensive staff under the bus.
Yeah.
Because Rhodes isn't calling the plays. I mean,
no.
So if he thinks they should have ran the ball more, then, hey, man, Gino, what are you doing?
That's fitting, Greg, because they all hate each other. So,
jeez.
I'm just waiting.
Allegedly.
I've never gotten an email from a coach. I've never, nothing. I'm just waiting for someone to say, like,
wait,
hey.
Wait till you get served for libel here or for slander.
Pretty sure you can't do that for an opinion.
So. Well, it's not an opinion. You were quoting a source.
I wasn't quoting anybody.
You said you had a source.
A source of a source.
Yeah, I said I have someone that claims they have a source. Yeah.
What was your other point? You said you had two takeaways.
That was both.
The second one.
The statement running. And then the running game.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Yeah. So you think that Iowa State will cover the 37-point spread against Baylor?
I do, and I would not have thought that before Mother Nature took hold. So, and I'm gonna clarify this statement. If Saturday morning comes, then and from what I've seen, there's somewhere between a 90 to 100% chance of rain.
Like heavy rain.
Throughout the game. Okay, not just at the start, throughout. If it's a drizzle, Baylor covers this spread. What I'm saying is, if it's a hurricane-type rain, heavy rain throughout the game, it is tough as a football player to, frankly, want to play, especially in the offensive side of the ball. I think defensive guys like that. It's kind of fun. It's backyard football.
Not against that offense.
But precision offenses, quick slants, yes, they've got great gloves now, granted, but you're still getting rain pouring down in your eyes. You're going to have drops. You're going to have fumbles. You're going to have a lot of weird stuff happening. I don't see Baylor covering if there's a heavy rain throughout the game.
I would be – if those heavy winds, I think I would be a little
bit
different.
And the under is also a very solid play, for sure.
What is it?
78. It's dropping, though, from 81 to 78. That's probably weather-related. It is dropping quite a bit. So
when Iowa State plays, the under is always a good play.
I haven't even I haven't made a pick yet, but that's intriguing. I mean, the whole hurricane deal.
It's going to play a factor. People are like, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it does.
That's ridiculous.
Well, so here's the thing, though. If it's really raining and it's wet and the field's wet and a little slick, that to a certain extent does favor the offense because they know where they're going. They already have the advantage of being faster than Iowa State.
I'm a little concerned about Iowa State's rushing attack against Billings and Oakman, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people think Baylor's all offense, but that's two defensive linemen who are probably going to be –
We don't
at least top 10 draft picks.
And we don't know if Burton's 100% healthy.
No.
He's probably not.
If it's raining that heavy and it does become a running game, even more fumbles. The weird stuff's going to happen if the weather's that bad.
The issue, though, let's talk through this from all angles. I mean, Baylor's still averaging like 370 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah.
And they've got a real – by far their most physical offensive line under Briles.
But they get that because of what they can do.
Yeah, I get it. It's a very balanced offense.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think through this, though. Like, let's think worst case scenario. It's like a hurricane out there.
We're breaking down a game that we're going to get our butts kicked in.
Well, yeah. I don't think there's anything Iowa State can do to keep this, like, winnable.
Simply talking spread.
Yeah.
Now I keep hearing, and I mean, I'm on record. I think we're going to get destroyed in this game. But you keep saying that there's absolutely no chance that Iowa State can win this game.
Correct.
None.
No. No chance.
I don't like that mentality. I don't. There's always a chance, but why you play?
Okay, maybe. Okay, there's a 1% chance.
Okay, that's all I ask.
That's high. That's fine. Generous.
I'm just saying, like, the Iowa State needs to get through this game.
Yeah.
And just don't let anyone die on the field, and then there's some winnable games down the stretch. I think that Texas, Kansas State, maybe Oklahoma State at home, and West Virginia are all games where if you show up and you play really well, you could win one of those potentially.
I think it's important that they compete in this game. I don't think it's one of you just get through healthy. I think it's important that they compete.
I'll give you that. Yeah, like if they don't. You can't lose 71-7.
No, because you just got your butt kicked on the road to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And if you do it again to Baylor, I mean, you could lose your team here.
This weather totally changes the game. Because typically you think of Baylor at 11 o'clock start, bright and sunny, 80 degrees, and they're going to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that's what was going to happen. This changes the impact.
Yeah,
I would agree. I don't think Baylor's scoring 70 points in this game or 60 points if heavy rains. Just don't. So, yeah, that, it makes it more interesting to watch, in my opinion.
Oh, it's what I was saying before. Like, to me, like, this is a godsend, man, that we've got this weather to talk about. Because, yeah. I mean, there's no point in breaking down the X's and O's here.
No.
There's just not.
No. Gray, you're an X's and O's guy, though. When you say you get frustrated with people saying there's no chance, then you have to be looking at it from an X's and O's perspective.
No, just score every time.
They can't do that, though. Like,
why not? Something like that. Just score every time, and you know that's not happening, so that statement stupid.
It's probably not going to happen, and that's why I say we're going to get our butts kicked.
They didn't score in the entire, like, final three quarters against a TCU team without seven starters on defense.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
That you think's not very good. So,
it's embarrassing.
Like, why do we think that they could score every time against Baylor?
I don't think they can score every time against Baylor. I just don't like that when people say there's no chance.
There's no chance, though.
Granted, I agree that the chances are slim to none. But why play the game? Why even fly down there, Chris, if there's no chance?
Because you're obligated to.
You have to,
by the Big 12 television networks.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just a different mentality. I'm not saying – I won't sit here and say Iowa State's going to win, but I would never sit and say, you know, there's zero chance of winning a game.
Okay, I said there's a 1%
chance.
Okay,
then what are we talking about?
They're a 37-point underdog on the road. Like, come on. Like,
I know.
And I already said, like, get through this in one piece, and I think there are some winnable games in the back end of the schedule. I truly believe that. Especially how they – Your point is well taken. You can't lose the team on Saturday. That's important here, obviously.
You got to have your kids still competing.
But Jesus, like, Kansas State just lost by 55. Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, there are some games that it's like, West Virginia is not, it's another fraudulent West Virginia team. They're okay. They're not bad.
They lost their best player.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, there's some games that would, I mean, Oklahoma State's undefeated, but I think that they're an unspectacular undefeated as well. Maybe that's a 6 or 7 o'clock game. There are games where if they show up with proper effort and they can hang, they can win, but this is not one of them.
They got to get out of their own way.
Oh, yeah.
And they've shown no ability to do that.
No.
That's why I predicted that they're finishing after Kansas 0-8. It isn't because I hate Iowa State. It's because where's the proof that they'll win at Kansas State? Yes,
There's no proof that you can win any game.
You know, I mean, Kansas State is
no
not.
No proof that they could beat Northern Iowa coming into the year.
They're gonna go down to Kansas State. They're going to be leading in the second half. We'll feel pretty good.
You're probably
and
right.
Then Bill Snyder will. Bill Snyder's team won't make any mistakes. We'll do a couple things, and they'll beat us by field goal. And we'll sit here and say, "Wow, this is
there went another one."
See, why do you say that? I don't like the mentality of.
No. I think you can. I just don't like the zero chance attitude.
I said there's a 1% chance.
You changed it after you said no chance. Why are we still talking about
it? There is no chance. I said 1% just to appease you. There's no chance they can win on Saturday.
Okay.
It is Steve Dace coined this phrase long ago. It is a rake your lawn Saturday for the Cyclone.
It's a rake your lawn Saturday for all of college football.
It always comes down to money. It just does. No chance means that if somebody went to Chris and said, Chris, If Baylor wins, I'll give you $1,000. But if Iowa State wins, you have to give me $20,000. Chris would say, deal.
Yeah, I probably would.
Wouldn't even think
if
about it.
If I had $20,000.
Exactly my point, though. That's a 0% chance game,
though.
That's
a weekly check.
Where you're like,
you,
I don't care what it is. That's a free $1,000. Yeah. I'm taking that.
They're not. I mean, they're a 37-point underdog. I mean, that.
All right, well. Okay.
And I think I get accused of being a Kool-Aid drinker all the time, so it's not like I'm.
I know. It's more just a mentality thing for me, to be honest with you, is all it is. It's the same thing when everyone was down in the dumps going into the TCU.
Well, my mentality really shouldn't affect what the Iowa State players' mentality
is. No, I know it doesn't. I know.
Do totally off topic, but real quick, did either one of you see any second or minute of the K-State game?
I watched the.
You watched it.
I watched the entire first half on Sunday.
I was happy because I took Oklahoma to cover, which they did, but I didn't see any of it. Can you briefly recap what happened in
that
game?
They just piss-pounded them in every aspect.
Like a lot of turnovers?
They were up I don't remember, a couple, I think. But, Oklahoma was up 14-0 in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was one of those snowball-type games.
Yeah.
A little bit I mean, if you can compare it, I'm just starting to think of something Iowa State for our listeners who watch every Iowa State game. Kind of like the Tech game. I mean, once Iowa State got down early, then they started pressing, and then it was all over. That would be how I would describe that game.
That had to be the worst loss of Snyder's career, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, really?
Well, I would think that his first year.
55-point loss?
At home, that's got to be.
They were awful, though, like right when he got there. I don't know.
But 55-0
still. In the modern day, absolutely.
Yeah.
In the modern day, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not shocking they lost. I'm just shocking they lost 55-0.
I'm just trying to, like, I didn't follow it closely enough, but back when he first got there, I want to say they maybe got killed by Oklahoma a couple times, but I don't, like, anything modern, though. I mean, they just got housed in every aspect of the game.
Stoops
and their whole quarterback deal is a disaster.
Stoops
right
is
now.
One of the best coaches in the country after a loss, though. After a loss, Stoops is good.
He is.
Really, that game tells you that the Texas-Oklahoma game, what happened to Oklahoma? Seriously, what?
It's a rivalry game. That's the only thing.
Came out flat for some reason.
Man.
You had one team like playing for their lives. And no, you're right. You're exactly right on the week-to-week thing.
I mean,
I'm with you too, man. I think TCU's probably got a loss or two at the end of the year. And then, but man, I think Baylor, though, they haven't played anybody yet, but like they're going to really be tested the next 5 weeks. I think this is his best team.
I would love to see them in the playoff.
God. I'm writing about this right now. It'll be up later today. Did you guys watch the press conference on Monday by any chance?
No.
Rhodes' press conference?
Oh, yes.
Some
yes,
of
I
it.
Did.
Yeah.
I asked Coach, because while I was driving up there, I heard a bunch of pundits talking about no defense in the Big 12, which is fine. I mean, that's a popular opinion.
Oklahoma had some.
And I asked Coach, I was like, is that true or the offense is just that good? Because Coach is a defensive guy, and I thought it'd be an interesting quote.
Yeah.
And he made a really good point, about the playoff. And, it was a really well thought out and quality answer about how the difference in getting, like, your team ready for Baylor and Tech and TCU and Oklahoma and these type of offenses on 1 week compared to, like, when Michigan State had, like, a month.
Yeah.
To prepare for Baylor last year, a good Michigan State defense,
Baylor still put up like 45 on them.
Yeah, I know. But my question is, though, if they get into the playoff, and let's just say Bama has a month to get ready for Baylor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they would do.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see it, but it is interesting to think about.
I don't think Baylor's a soft team.
No.
What you've seen with these pass-happy teams off in
physical.
The Oregons is that they do get out physical. I don't think Baylor will do that because they're legitimate.
Dude, but like I said,
that's what you see a lot.
They got two guys on their D-line who may be top five picks this year.
Yeah.
I don't think that – I mean, defense is obviously, if you have a month to prepare, is going to help, but I think it hurts the offenses more having a month off because their timing's thrown off a little bit. You see these timing offenses.
That's a good point, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was a – again, I'm writing about that later on today, and you guys can read more about it. But I think that Baylor – I know they – what they – West Virginia is not good, but they're not bad. I mean, they're not like – they're not Iowa State or Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they'd be much closer to Iowa State, obviously. This is a pretty good team that they just housed last week.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Like, what happened? It'll be interesting in two Thursdays. We need to do a game watch it at Benchwarmers for this after our show. But Baylor goes to Kansas State on a Thursday night.
That'd be a good game.
That'll be a great test because Bryles teams just are so bad on the road traditionally.
Yeah.
I feel like if they can get past that, then they get Oklahoma at home. Then we're set up for the showdown in Fort Worth on Black Friday. And I kind of feel like TCU will lose before then. But, man, I just pray that it is two unbeatens going at it because that will be epic.
The good news for Iowa State fans is at the end of this year, there's going to be some interesting potential coaches out there waiting to be hired. Scott Frost will be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Bryles kid could be.
I don't think he's probably not ready, but I like where your head's at, buddy.
You know,
Scott Frost. Here's a little. You guys want a little nugget?
Yeah.
Iowa State coach.
I love nuggets.
I had a member of. So Scott, I'm a Western Iowa guy. Scott Frost's parents used to coach at a high school there.
Yeah.
I heard that he would be interested.
Is Frost from Nebraska? Where's he from?
I don't know.
He played in Nebraska.
I know.
I don't know where he's originally from.
I don't know if he's a Midwest guy.
No, but from what I understand, Camp Frost believes that because he's getting paid like $1 million a year out of Oregon.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of schools that have like not even talked to him because they think that he wouldn't be interested because, oh, why would he want to come here? He's making $1 million at Oregon.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is a job that he would be intrigued by.
He is from Nebraska, Wood River, Nebraska.
Okay.
At a minimum of a couple mil a year. But here's another thing, too, which is contradictory somewhat because you seem to like maybe the notion of a Scott Frost coming here.
It would be interesting. I'm not going on that bandwagon.
But Scott Frost or Briles would bring an offense probably that's similar in style to an Oregon, to a Baylor,
et cetera. Yeah, and I don't know if that's
and
what
we're
I want.
Talking about maybe going like a triple option type
Why
type
couldn't
deal.
Frost coach a triple option?
He could. He well, could.
Here's my question. Why is Scott Frost's name such a big name? I'd like to hear the reason.
I don't think it is, Adam. I mean,
no,
I,
you hear it a lot.
If it was so big, then Nebraska would have hired him.
It's going to be top five in vacancies next year.
Can I
fill vacancies?
I disagree.
Now, here's his coaching.
I'll give you five. You want five?
Yeah, give me five.
Okay, you got the Memphis coach, Fuente.
Yeah.
You got Tom Herman. You've got
Western Kentucky's coach,
the Bowling Green coach. Mm-hmm. You've got the Western Michigan coach. You've got
probably Northern Illinois coach.
Just there's five.
Now what my counter argument to that would be what is the difference?
Oh, Matt Campbell at Toledo.
The difference in perception? Most of those coaches, if not all that you just named, would be coming from quote-unquote lower programs up to a Big 12 where Scott Frost is offensive coordinator at an Oregon.
Yep.
And you would say he's used to the big time, blah, blah, blah. That would be the argument.
This is your Steve Prohm, TJ Otzelberger argument.
Agree with that. And we don't know if that was the right choice. We'll find out.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Let's go through Scott Frost's coaching resume real quick. Okay.
Northern Iowa. He was at Northern Iowa, right?
So he was a grad assistant at Nebraska and Kansas State. Nebraska, then he was off for a while. But the Kansas State in 2006. 2007 through 2008, he's at Northern Iowa. And then he is a wide receivers coach for 3 years at Oregon. And he's been the offensive coordinator / QB coach for the last 2.5 years when he was coaching Marcus Mariota. I'm sorry. You have Marcus Mariota in that offense with Chip Kelly still having like a feel there. You're going to look better than you probably are. I don't think he's
probably
proven,
right.
He hasn't proven anything.
So you're punishing him because he had Mariota?
I'm not punishing. I'm just saying right now, without Mariota and without Chip Kelly still having a little bit of the influence
couldn't
there,
you say the same
their
about,
offense is not the same.
Couldn't
They're
you say the same
good.
About Cliff Kingsbury with Johnny Manziel?
You could.
You could say the same about any coach with a group of talented players and say it's not the coach, it's the players.
But other coaches have proven it.
Yeah.
They've maybe been I'd rather have a head coach. I'd rather
to
have
me, like,
a lower level head coach than this.
Would you rather have Briles or Frost though between those two?
Neither.
I would rather have Frost.
If I had, I'd pick Frost. Yeah. Briles not even
he's only like 29. Of all the guys we've discussed, I would like Western Michigan Fleck or the guy at Bowling Green.
I'd like Western Kentucky's.
The Bowling Green guy is a Briles disciple. So if you're looking to hire Art Briles, that's the guy to hire. He was with Art. I mean, he's been with Art for like a decade.
Do you dismiss people that...
His name escapes me, but he was the old OC.
What school is he at now again?
He's at Bowling Green, their head coach.
Oh, really? Okay.
Do you dismiss people that say Tom Herman would come back here because he's been here?
He won't come back here.
So you dismiss those people.
It's not my confidence in Iowa State Baylor.
Yeah.
But it's... I mean, I just... Tom Herman's going to end up at USC or... I mean, if Urban Meyer would have a heart attack, I mean, he would go to – he's not coming to Iowa
State. Can you explain this, though? When Herman was here, no one was in love with the guy. You know, he was like, all right, whatever, just another coach. Then he goes elsewhere, and he does really well.
Well, it's because he had, you know, Braxton Miller.
Well, and more than that, he was coaching under
Urban
Meyer.
So it seems like your coaching success is directly linked to the talent of your players.
Well, and that's why Tom Herman would be stupid to come here.
Yeah.
He'd be smart to stay at Houston for 2 years.
And win a lot.
Yeah, and win a – I almost cussed. Win a crap ton of games.
Yeah.
And then, like, win a huge job, and you're the hot guy – You move on to that. Like, to me, like, coming here and, you know, next year you're lucky to win 5 games, that doesn't do anything for your resume.
Yeah.
And he's making like $1.7 million there. It's not like he's making chump change.
To be fair to Herman here as well, though, they were not as talented on offense as they are right now.
They had better line. I mean, he had Osimile and Hayworth Hicks. And
yeah, but he didn't
ben
have
Lamont.
Lazard and Montgomery and Bundridge and Warren. And
Skill-wise, they're better now.
Yes. You could do some more. The wide receivers were not very good back then.
No. I mean, he was playing with, like, Jake Williams and...
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different.
No, I agree. I think Herman... I always thought Herman got a terrible rap from the fan base back in the day.
Yeah.
Their offense was pretty damn efficient at the end of his tenure, too. It was getting there. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't a thing of beauty. But compared to what we've been watching.
Yeah.
And don't give me the, like, total yards and all that stuff because it's different now. Like, it's a it's a different type of...
The game's changed in 5 years.
Yeah, it's changed dramatically. But, no, I don't think it's, like, an ill will thing from Tom Herman towards Iowa State. I just think it's more... You know, I just believe it's a... Strategically, I don't think it does him any good.
Well, I, for one, I'm going...
I'd love to get him, though.
I'm excited about the possibility of a new coach. And you can say what you want to about my hatred for Rhodes.
I didn't know that.
I think he sucks, and I'm excited.
I don't hate Rhodes.
I'm excited.
There's nothing make me happier for Rhodes to win some games and get everybody back on board and be our coach next year.
How many does it need for you to be back on board?
He needs to win...
Four more? Get four to six? More. Go to bowl game?
Yeah.
Kevin? I love...
That's fair. I think that's perfectly
fair. Anything short of that, no.
I think that's fair.
Because I would admire him if he finds a way to win four more games. Yeah. I'd say, like, maybe I shortchanged this guy a little bit. Yeah. But short of that, no.
And for
no
those listening who hate Mark, I can vouch for Mark as a personal friend. Like, he would come off. If Iowa State would beat Baylor, we would both come on here and eat crow gladly next week.
I don't even know if you'd have to because there's not one person that thinks that we're
not going to get to that game. But my point is, like, I know Mark well enough. Where, I mean, if they would turn this around, you would come on here and say that.
Well, people forget. Like,
I just don't like personal stuff. That's my
deal. Here's the problem. When people get on me about stuff I say here, here's what they say. They're quick to say if I criticize Rhodes or say I don't like the guy. First of all, it's not.
Don't make it personal.
No,
that's my only point.
It's an opinion that everyone is entitled to have. But they say, oh, you're not an Iowa State fan. Well, I am. I'm just an Iowa State fan that. I guess my point is here that I feel the same way about what I do for a living and bring to my business. I expect certain things. And if I don't do certain things for my clients, I expect to get fired. You know, I don't have an expectation. They should just accept it or whatever. No, I've got a job to do. And if I suck at my job, they should fire me.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to say, I'm not the right guy for you. And I get out of the way. That's my expectation. Not that Rhodes is going to quit. Nobody thinks he's going to do that. I understand that. But I have expectations as a fan. And when they're not being met, I want to see a change made. And that doesn't mean that I don't like the program. That means I want the best for the program, and we're not there at this point. So it's frustrating to me, and I voiced that frustration. So,
that's
whatever.
Fair.
Mark at markcharter.com if you want to fire off some hate mail.
I don't like it when people, and I'm not even saying you, I just like when this happens. It happened at the Anna McDermott. It's just what happens on anonymous message boards. I don't like personal stuff. Like, and I try and keep CF above that. Cause, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, like, I was telling Adam on Monday, and we, both of us, all three of us, disagree with some of the stuff that Coach had to say in that press conference. But it really is to the point where there's nothing he can say that's going to make anybody happy ever. It's just, like, everything he says. And I just don't like it when people go on there and call him, like, an idiot and you're stupid. You know what I mean? Like,
it's very easy
to be upset with your coach. And
he couldn't have been valedictorian stuff.
Yeah,
like
I don't like personal stuff because he's a great guy. I love his family. Like I said, I hope Coach Rhodes finds a way to win and that he's here. Like, to me, for next year, who do I want to be the coach? I want it to be Paul Rhodes. I don't think it's going to happen at this point. But that's, to me, at the end of the day, that's what I want.
I don't even think Paul thinks it's going to happen next year. So
I hope that's not the case.
At the end of the day, the thing that bothers me the most is when people go looking for things to say bad about him.
I agree.
There's plenty of stuff that's very easy to see that you can criticize him for. Don't go looking for extra stuff to criticize him about.
Yeah.
Hey, your offense stinks. You've won 7 games in 3 years. Fair. When you make up stuff like smoke on the water, you know, that's stupid.
Let me get your guys' opinion on this. I want an honest opinion. So
did you miss that?
No, I didn't miss it. I glossed over that one quickly. I want an honest opinion because I know this is the type of topic that if I posted this on the forum, I would get killed. But I think that I have a point here. Fans basically have one way to truly voice their opinion, maybe two, and that is attendance, showing up or not showing up.
That's accurate.
Or two, their money, right? I donate,
which I think is tied together.
I donate or I don't donate, right? So if I directed a message, even privately, to Pollard, just between myself and Pollard, and said, I'm a fan, and this is my way of telling you what I think about the program. If you keep Rhodes next year, I'm donating zero. But if you don't and you get a new coach, I'm going to join at your highest level. Is that a bad thing to do as a fan? Is that like a blackmail thing? Or is that a fan being a fan and voicing displeasure the only way that anyone will pay attention to.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think that – no, I don't.
I say this because I've actually thought about doing it too.
It depends on how you go about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, with Jamie Pollard blocking people on Twitter. Well, yeah. I block people on Twitter too. No, but we all have – like, if a Hawk fan comes at me and we have, like, a rational conversation, yeah, and he's like, hey, Chris, I disagree with your take on this, and here's why, let's talk.
Yeah.
If some guy comes on there and calls me a douchebag
– yeah.
Then I'm just going to block him. You know, so I think, like, with Pollard, like, if you sat down and you typed out, like, a really well-thought-out email, like, hey, you know, I respect what Coach Rhodes did for us. And because I still don't think, like, and Ross and I were arguing about this the other day, like, I don't think that Paul Rhodes' tenure at Iowa State was a bust. I don't believe that at all. There's a lot of positive things that have come from Paul Rhodes being our head coach. But if you'd email Pollard and be like, F this, I'm done with my, you know what I mean? There's just two ways to go about it.
Yeah.
If you do it like an adult, which I assume you would.
I didn't think Pollard went a little douchey on Twitter this week with a fan. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw it.
Yeah, Adam texted.
On one hand, he's blocking people for saying anything, and on the other, he's not going after a fan. That's not accurate, but basically taking some time to poke it to a fan. So that didn't come off very well, I didn't think, but.
I agree.
Should we do our picks?
Let's do them.
Let's do our
picks. I need to steal a pen from you. All right. So last week, I went three and two. Me and you.
C-Dub, I got back on the winning ways.
C-Dub and myself both went 3-2. Charter, you went 2-3.
I had a tough beat in there. Tough beat.
Which one?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
Do you have the pick?
Must have been really tough.
My Vikings Chiefs pick.
I bet that, by the way, and won it, but you predicted blowout.
Made it nervous, though. Yes. Made it pretty damn nerve-wracking. The game, if you watched it, it was a blowout. I have no idea how the Chiefs were in position to potentially cover there at the end. I mean, the Vikings just dominated them all day, and then it was a lot like watching Iowa State, where they just couldn't put the ball in the end zone. But anyways, I need to start making my picks, so you guys go.
Charter and C-Dub are both bringing up the rear at 16-7-2, and I am in the lead at 18-17.
So 16-17-2.
So yeah, I said.
You said 16-7. I'm like, that's fantastic.
That's just like, wow.
You guys are hot. All right, Charter, I will let you go first, even though you had a pretty terrible week last week.
On my other pool, the pool that matters, that celebrity pool, I actually went 4-1 last week.
But so, that one matters more in the Fawcast one?
You can suck it. So, all right. Wow. First pick, I'm going to go with the obvious one. We kind of already talked about this. I am going to take the Baylor ISU under at 78. That's where I had it. Under 78 points.
That's interesting.
As of an hour ago, that's where I had it. So
I'm pretty confident about this one to start.
Let's hear it.
I just want to check on the line. I want Western Kentucky over LSU. Not straight up, obviously.
17, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what it was. I just want to make sure that's what I'm getting at. For one reason, trap game, or two reasons, as Adam already talked about.
They're good. Western Kentucky's a good team.
They put up a lot of points. And you had LSU. Last week,
Florida.
Florida. Next week, Alabama.
Yeah. It smells of trap.
Yeah. I mean, I think Western Kentucky can put up enough points.
You got the spread?
Yeah, it's 17.
It is 17. Okay.
Yep.
Western Kentucky plus 17. I don't mind that pick.
Yep.
All right. I am taking, it's a big line. This team has been terrible at covering all year, but I'm taking Ohio State minus 21 against the Rutgers.
I'm done with Ohio State.
They burn you quite a bit. I've stayed away from them. I think JT Barrett is the right guy for that team.
That's a good point.
And I also think that game is the primetime game, right, on ABC?
Yeah, that's how horrible this week is.
Usually, like, really good teams, when they know they're primetime, they step up, and they just – I think they're just going to – I see 55-10 in this game.
It's not only a bad week for games, it's a bad week for spreads. The spreads are tough. Vegas did a good job.
Really tough this week.
All right, pick number two. I'm going to go a little Big Ten action here.
Yep.
I'm not a believer in Nebraska. I did take him over Minnesota last week, and that worked out well. But I'm going to take Northwestern plus 7.5 to keep it close against Nebraska. I think Northwestern will have a little bit of a bounce back after that debacle against the Hawks.
How bad of a read did we all have on that Iowa-Northwestern game? Actually, I think you picked Iowa to win, didn't you? Did you change it?
No, I did at the beginning of the week, and I changed it to Northwestern because of all the injuries.
So did I.
Those injuries scared me.
Iowa looked good. Give him credit.
Yeah, and I took the under on that one too, which wasn't even close.
Can I go contrary to Mark here? What? I want Nebraska.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Is that all right?
No, I love it, actually. I like it. Why don't you guys sit here and argue back and forth?
You think Nebraska rolls them or wins by 10?
That's his team.
This is my read on that game.
Mm-hmm.
That Northwestern's been outscored 78-10 the last 2 weeks.
Yep, yep.
Nebraska finally gets a win after losing four games where it's like, man, in the last like 10 seconds.
Yep.
So I don't think they're as bad as their record says.
I agree with that.
And I think if they can get up early, they could blow them out.
And I think it's a must-win for Riley. I think
he's got to win at home, or those people are going to riot.
Exactly. My take is the whole Pat Fitzgerald being a good coach, getting his team ready. Could be wrong.
Yeah. He's a good coach.
Could really be wrong. Yep. But that's where I'm going.
7.5, is that what it
says?
Seven and a half.
Yep. I'm actually taking another 7.5, not this game. I'm taking Louisville -7.5 at home against Boston College. Boston College has played four games, I believe, against Power 5 teams, and they're averaging 6 points per game.
They're not good. Boston College is not good.
Their defense is pretty solid, but they can't score. Petrina, Louisville, they'll score enough. They'll win. They'll cover that.
Okay, I'm going to go with
Cut and Charter.
Oh, it's Charter up?
Go ahead.
I thought Charter's...
No, you're fine.
Doesn't matter.
I like Bowling Green at -14 at Kent State.
Bowling Green State, okay.
Williams is going off the grid a little bit this week.
You have to this week. A little bit. My God.
What do you have that line at?
14.
I tried to keep it fairly normal so listeners would know who the hell I'm talking about.
I've been going off the wall a lot lately.
Big 12 game. Obviously looked hella impressive last week, but I'm going to predict a shootout. A lot of points. I'm going to take Texas Tech +14.5 at Oklahoma. Oklahoma wins, but I think Tech can keep it close.
I think that's a good one. That's a sneaky good game.
Could be.
It could be. That's interesting, the Baker Mayfield deal.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
Got against his old team.
But it's at Oklahoma?
Yeah.
So he's not going back to Texas.
I'm not taking that game. I'm not touching it. But if I were to bet it, I would take Oklahoma, just for what it's worth.
Okay.
Just because I think of it goes back to our theory where you don't think Texas Tech is that good.
They're not great.
They're better.
They're not great, but they can score.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma can score 50 plus on that D.
Okay.
And we'll see. I don't know about Tech. I don't know about Tech versus the Oklahoma D. That's the outlier.
I will take. I'm going to take Miami at home +7 against Clemson.
Hmm.
It's Clemson's only.
Man, I hope so. I hope the ACC gets shut out of the playoff. What a garbage league.
Miami is so up and down.
They are up and down, but Clemson is just that program that whenever you think something good's going to happen to them, they kind of get the rug pulled out from underneath them. This is the only second road game they played all year, and the first one was a 3-point win against Louisville. I think they'll probably do the same thing. I think they'll win, but I don't think they'll cover 7. So give me Miami +7. Charter, what do you got?
Well, it's well documented how I felt about this team last year. But I watched a little bit of the game against Louisville last week. Looked good. Plus, Georgia Tech has screwed me multiple times this year.
Yes.
And they can't get their offense figured out. So I like Florida State -6.5 over Tech. I think a good Florida State team. Cook is one of the best running backs in the country. That guy's fast. I've seen him several times. I for sure think they can beat Georgia Tech by a touchdown. So okay. 6.5 over Tech.
That line's a little surprising to me because Tech's been really bad this year.
They have been, and I agree. I think it's a low line, but Florida State hasn't been killing people. Florida State looked really good in the second half against Louisville.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run with that.
Is it? Can you say that Dalvin Cook might be better than Leonard Fournette?
No.
Can't say that?
No. I don't even know if he's faster. Fournette is really fast.
And he's monster.
But he's huge, yeah. So he's a little bit deceptive.
Dalvin Cook's a stud.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. C-Dub is currently busy, so I'm going to skip over him. I'm going to go to my fourth pick. I'm going to go in NFL, actually. Colts -4.5. They're playing the Saints. Saints aren't very good. They
At Indy?
It's at Indy. Yeah. Indy needs a win. They typically beat up on the teams that they should beat up on, and they struggle against the teams that, you know, maybe they're underdogs. So I like them to win that by about 10.
Speaking of that, since Williams is over there doing something, what did you see the play the Colts ran against the Patriots?
Yes.
What was your take on that?
I don't really have a take other than it was just terrible. I mean,
was it one of the funniest plays you've ever seen in a football game before?
It was one where And I don't have I drop cable, so I don't have DVR. I wanted to rewind it and just keep watching it over and over
to try to see what they were seeing.
Yeah, what were they? What was the thought process behind it? Didn't the punter Pat McAfee? Didn't he come out and say what they were trying to do? I still haven't seen.
He said it was basically a deception play. Like they were trying to either get him off sides, or they were trying to basically catch them with 12 guys on the field because of a substitution thing, getting players on, getting them off, which I believe all of that. But none of that says snap the ball.
Yeah.
You take a delay or you call timeout. To snap the ball in that situation was brainless to do. So, I don't know. It was literally one of the worst plays that's ever been run in a football game.
Yeah.
Especially in the pros.
Well, and it wasn't even like the play itself. Like, you know, you can laugh at the butt fumble. Well, the butt fumble was physically him running in and making a mistake. This was just like a play call, you know, was just terrible.
The announcers were shocked. They couldn't believe it. So, all right, Williams, got one over there?
Yeah, I want I'm going Tom Herman.
He's not playing this week.
Huh?
Tom's not playing. His team is.
I got a good stat. You want
a
stat?
They're on the road, aren't they?
Yeah, at UCF, 21.
Yeah, that's a big line. But UCF's terrible.
Dude, Houston is 13-0 against the number in its last 13 road games.
I didn't know Herman's even coached 13
games. That's a
games
good number.
There.
He hasn't.
So what does that stat matter?
That they're good at playing on the road.
Yeah, and that in that league, they're perennially better than pretty much everybody else talent-wise.
Yeah, well, okay.
Have they been favorites in those 13 games?
Their last is... Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. That's just against the spread. Yeah.
I'm not calling you stupid because, I mean, it's obviously stat. But when I hear those stats like that, I just laugh. When anything goes back, a prior coaching staff, or prior years, what does it matter? This team is completely different than the team.
Because Houston's just perennially one of the top teams in that league.
Okay.
Talent-wise.
Okay. I agree, but it's still against the spread, right? I mean, Vegas is still going against the spread.
Correct.
So that really shouldn't matter.
It does, though.
Okay.
Because they got more talent.
You know what? I'm really pulling for them not to cover because of your dumb take going back to a prior coaching staff on that one.
They'll win by 40.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that pick.
Is it back to me from the last one, or you got one?
No, right. Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
I got one left, too. You go.
We all do.
Once again, back to the Big Ten. This is a momentum play based off of last week and a crazy ending. One of the craziest I've ever seen. I'm going to take Michigan State -16.5 against Indiana. I think they maybe get some stuff figured out, and I think they roll. Indiana scares me a little bit. I believe it's at Michigan State. Indiana scares me a little bit because they can put up some points, but Indiana also has had some games this year where they did not look very good at all. So Michigan State 16.5.
What's Michigan State against the spread? I know they covered last week, obviously, but like in games that they're favored?
Probably not very good.
It can't be very good.
Probably not very good. But by what you just said against Williams, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, because it's this season. I only talk about this season stuff. I don't go back looking 8 years for stuff. But what do you got? What do you got?
C-Dub?
There's two SEC games I'm interested in. I'll just talk through this here.
Okay.
I like Kentucky at +11.5 at Mississippi State.
You're really high in Kentucky.
And I don't think Mississippi State, other than a quarterback, is that good.
I agree.
And then the Tennessee, taking the points in Tennessee is intriguing to me as well.
What is that, 13?
No, it's like 15.5 at Alabama.
So what are you going to do?
I got to find that line real quick.
The Alabama that just 15. Played A&M covers that spread, though. That's
yeah, but
the tricky
Tennessee's
part.
Like so close to being 6-0. You know what I mean? Like, the only thing I don't trust about Tennessee is their coach.
Yeah.
And I'm also interested in the other one that I'm intrigued by is Texas at 4 over Kansas State.
You like Texas in that game.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to screw with Bill Snyder off of a 55-point defeat, though. Mm. That just doesn't – that I don't know if that's smart. So I'm going to take I'll take Kentucky at +11.5 at Mississippi State.
Okie dokie.
Because I don't think Mississippi State is good enough to beat any SEC team not named Vanderbilt by 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. All right, my last pick. I'm sticking in the NFL. The Giants were absolutely awful last week. Did you watch that game, Giants-Eagles?
I did, and they looked like world beaters in their first drive.
Yeah.
And then they started looking like them in their second drive until one Eagle stole it from the Giant, and from there they looked like crap.
Yeah, they were awful.
Yeah.
Back at home though against the Cowboys, a Cowboy team they should have beat the very first
Matt
week.
Matt Castle's
down for the Cowboys. The Cowboys just, I'm sorry, Dez Bryant's probably still not playing. Give me the Giants -3.5 at home. A game they got
to
win.
Against a brand new quarterback to the team.
Yep.
I don't necessarily disagree with that at all. I'm shocked you didn't take the under in the Iowa State game. That's one of your picks.
No.
Yeah. You're done with that.
Well, it's what, 78 now, you said?
78 with heavy monsoon.
I'll wait and see on the weather on that.
With tornadic activity.
Yep. Yep. Wow.
Dude, so you know my trip to Ole Miss? We rented a van. How awesome is that?
We're very well aware.
What does the van look like? Is it kind of a creepy looking van?
Is it like a kidnapping van?
Yeah.
Or like some other type of cool van?
Or is it like a Chrysler Town & Country like mine?
I don't know. It's just a van. We got a van.
What do you mean? Like you rented it from like Alamo or Hertz?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
And you rented a van?
Yeah.
Okay.
For three dudes?
Yeah. Five dudes.
Who's all going?
Well, we're picking up a buddy of ours. He lives in Springfield, Missouri on the way down.
Is B-Laz going?
Yeah, B-Laz.
Oh. Hey, did you get an invite?
No, you guys are going to Vegas.
We're in Vegas that weekend.
Oh, that's the weekend. Okay. But I don't think I got an invite prior.
Honestly, though, I don't think we would have got an invite anyway. But,
no, we wouldn't have. We wouldn't have.
Vegas became a handy excuse for Williams.
We're picking up this friend of ours who lives in Springfield. It's like right on the way. But we're like, why are we all going to cram into a car? Let's rent a van.
I agree with that.
That's not bad.
And my wife's response was, well, at least we know you're not going to be cheating on us when you're down there. Because we're driving a van.
One of you guys is about to get killed, by the way, for that beeping happening background.
That's me.
So,
go ahead.
People don't like
it. It's always Williams. If you ever hear a beeping in the background, it's 9 times out of 10, it's Williams.
Yeah. It's Chris.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
So, no, we're going to... I'm hopeful. Vegas is coming up. It's around the corner. Jeez, Chris.
It's Jack Whitfer.
Put your stupid computer on mute. It's not that hard.
Tell Senator Whitfer that we're busy right now.
I told him. I said, Jack, knock it off.
Ask Whitfer if he thinks he could be in the two deeps in this Iowa State receiving corps.
I don't think I don't think he thinks that he could.
Really? Yeah. Text him that right now. I want a quick response. Say we're doing a fall cast.
Okay.
Gray wants to know if you think you could be in the 2Ds for this receiving core.
If anybody out there listening wants me to place a bet for him in Vegas, I'm happy to do that. Just give me some money before I go. I promise I'll do it.
I trust you.
My fingers are crossed.
So where are we staying, Charter?
We're staying at Vidara.
I've never been to Vidara.
Vidara.
Is it new?
Newer. It's right next to Aria.
Okay.
It is. Let's be honest about this. It's probably a little bit nicer than you're used to.
I stayed at the Cosmo last time up at the suite. I had a nice suite up there. So
what? Who are you staying in a suite with?
Don't worry about it. But I did. I did.
Whatever. I don't buy that for a second.
I got pictures.
I'm gonna have to see these pictures. I'm gonna have to see them.
Some of them I'll keep myself. But what do we have any itinerary? I mean, anything that we're doing? I mean, are we going to a club a certain night? What do you have planned for us, Charter?
Well, I don't think I should talk about clubs and things of that nature when your wife may listen to this.
Julie's not listening.
So what I can say for sure is last year on this trip, we went and I think there were 10 or 11 guys. This year there's 12. We did not make it to a strip club. So I'm not saying why.
Adam won't go.
We know this.
Strip club. I said a club. No, there's a difference between a strip club and a club.
I'm talking about last year's trip.
If there are females anywhere, Adam.
Gray's on record already. Of course he won't go because everybody already knows he won't go to the Playboy Mansion either. He's already said
that. They don't even have nudes there anymore. I don't see the point.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. Playboy getting rid of nudity?
Weird. The internet, you know.
Yeah, it's just weird.
But anyway.
There's already a magazine out there called Maxim. I mean, that's what they're trying to become. No itinerary. I think Vegas is better when you just let Vegas happen.
Yeah.
You just wander around. You go into places. You just say hi to people on the street, and you just kind of let things happen. So be a lot of that happening.
That sounds fun.
And obviously some sports betting, too. We'll be doing that.
A couple
Whipper gave me like a serious answer.
Let's hear it.
He goes, probably not, unless it was a specialized position that was more of a slot receiver, Wes Welker type of position. We had great outside receivers, but our slots have not been overly effective.
That's a good take. I would actually agree with that.
Yeah.
The one thing I always thought Seneca was missing was like a big, tall, like Alan Lazard type receiver. You know, you think about it, he had Danielson and Whitford. They weren't really exactly big targets.
Yeah.
And he still threw the ball in the money.
Yeah.
So
Jack is my height, very close to it. I'm 5'11".
Who's faster?
Oh, Charter.
Back in the prime.
Jack wasn't super fast that I recall, right?
I mean, he played Big 12 football.
How fast was Lane? I met with Lane the other day. Lane is definitely bigger than me. He's 6'1", maybe.
Is Lane 6'1"?
Oh, yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. He was.
I don't know how fast he was.
I don't know.
He could run. I mean, yeah, Lane was faster than Jack.
Yeah, he ran a.
Who is the? Here's a trivia question for you that we won't know the answer to, but I'm curious if you guys agree on this. Let's just call it last 20 years fastest wide receiver at Iowa State in the last 20 years.
Well,
Wallace Franklin.
Oh geez.
How about wide receiver? Let's qualify this a bit. Wide receiver that played a lot. That was on the field seeing action.
I do know that
John Davis probably.
That's the guy I was going to say. The guys used to always talk about how fast John Davis
couldn't catch
was.
A cold, but he was fast.
I'm trying to think.
Should have been a D-back.
Jarvis West was quick, but he wasn't fast. Yeah. Fast.
No, like in a 40, he wouldn't have. John Davis is the guy that came straight to my head.
Yeah.
I think there's times when Juwan Wesley catches it and he gets going, he looks pretty fast.
I think Bundridge is in the conversation.
There's fast and there's football fast.
Fastest,
there's a difference.
Fastest running back in that same 20 years?
Oh, that would be Aaron Wimberly's 40 probably.
Yeah.
I wonder what Mike Warren runs. He, man, when he gets going too, he's fast.
Like Aaron Wimberly, I know, was like the fastest guy on their roster at one point.
Do they time 40s up there at any point, like in spring ball or anything? Do they actually
They do
time
some
them?
Sort of, to gauge it.
Because if you think Stevie Hicks wouldn't have been, obviously, the Davises were
Alexander
quick, but they
Robinson
weren't fast.
They weren't fast, no.
A-Rob was fast, but he wasn't. Wimberly is straight speed fast.
What about Trevor Ryan, though?
Yeah, he can move.
Usually your fastest guy on the team is often defensive backs in a lot of cases.
Ken Lynn, I think, may be the fastest guy on the roster now. He doesn't really play, but he's really fast.
Yeah.
Actually, that kid from the JUCO, what's his name, Wilt?
He can buck.
He can run.
They start putting him back on kick returns too.
Yeah, I did see that.
Slowest running back, Woody. He was a fullback, but you know Woody, what I mean.
Jason Scales was pretty slow, but Jason Scales
Stevie
wasn't that fast. Jason Scales had a lot of injuries that kind of hurt him.
He was hyped big time coming out of Valley.
It's hard to call.
Bo Blankenship.
No, Bo ran for like 300 yards at Ohio in a game.
I know, he did.
Yeah.
It's like record setting. Yeah. It's one of the best games. And the only reason I know this is because when I was looking up the Kansas City stuff for our show, I just stumbled upon Bo Blankenship's name. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Schwartz was not fast by any means.
Oh, jeez. He went to Hampton.
Yep.
Hampton
of all places.
That's yuck.
Seriously, if you
shouldn't be able to say yuck. The S word on here or Hampton.
If you think about that win at Nebraska, their starters, their specialty starters were
Jerome Tiller,
Jeremiah Schwartz,
Jake Williams.
Jake Williams was their wide receiver.
The one that caught the touchdown.
Yeah. And they were going against Ndamukong Suh.
Not only Ndamukong Suh, but they had Niles Paul, who's in the NFL.
Yeah.
The running back was...
I swear Niles Paul threw that game.
Oh, he had to have. Had to have thrown it.
I swear he threw.
We'll take it.
Oh, I have absolutely.
I did read something today, and not to cut you off, Mark, just because it fits here, that there was some scouts that are saying that Billings for Baylor is the most dominant defensive lineman we've seen in college football since Suh.
Really?
Yeah. Billings, everybody, like any of the scouts say Billings is better than Oakman.
Oakman's
just
looks
beast.
Like Tarzan.
He's got that Jadeveon Clowney thing going on where
but tougher
he just
than
looks
that.
Like a freak. And no, but like he made a couple of really impressive plays.
Clowney's a bust, frankly.
Clowney is more athletic in college, though.
Give Clowney some time, though. I mean, he blew out his knee. Like, give him some time.
I don't know that he has the desire. That was one of the things people talked about. It seems to be coming true.
It's a hard knock.
Last 20 years, I've got a player in mind that I think one of you guys will say, last 20 years at Iowa State, the best player. Regardless of position, just best player at Iowa State over the last 20 years.
The best football player.
No, was that?
You can go.
Who comes to mind?
Troy Davis.
Well,
Seneca Wallace. Sage for. But Sage is going
for,
to.
For me, the answer.
Troy Davis is the best player.
Yeah. I mean, situationally, et cetera. I would say Seneca. Seneca is the best player overall.
Seneca made the most difference.
Talent, difference in win.
Yeah, if you threw Seneca on this team, like, it's a whole different conversation.
We could have beat TCA.
Yeah, like, so, like, you're right there. But, like, man, like, what Troy Davis did.
It was impressive.
It's legendary.
But he's hurt by lousy teams. He just is. He was hurt by.
Oh, yeah. I know. Sucks. But I'm just saying, like, you best player, man, it's tough for me to go against him.
We played six games. We're 2-4 right now. Seneca Walsh is our quarterback. What's our record?
Probably well, 4-2. You beat Iowa.
Yes.
You beat Toledo.
Yes.
TCU's a toss-up. You don't beat Tech.
I think you're 4-2 instead of 2-4. I think he switches that.
You don't think we could have scored 40 points with Seneca as our quarterback? I absolutely do.
Well, I think you could have, but I don't know if Mangino and – I mean, are they still
coordinated? Yeah, but Seneca doesn't play on defense, so it doesn't change everything.
Crowd stays into it, man. That's the thing that pissed me off more about the punt than anything. As soon as he punt, the crowd was done. They left.
But, and I don't blame him.
But here's the good thing.
I checked out. Like, when they punted, I started writing my story. I go, this game's over.
The good thing about your question, though, indicates that if you get the right player, you got a chance at some wins.
So Rhodes is – you know, ever since Jake Knott and A.J. Klein, they haven't recruited linebackers very good. But you can kind of – you can coach around that a little bit. The one thing that's going to be his biggest failing at Iowa State is he's never been able to recruit a quarterback at the Big 12 level.
Yeah.
And you got to have a quarterback.
I think they've got their guy. That's what sucks.
You think Lanning's that guy?
I do.
I hope you're right.
I do, too. I mean, I think he's their guy. That's what's frustrating.
Just not yet or already, because coaches play the best players. That's what they always say. That's what they're supposed to do.
They do, and they're
not right now?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of dynamics. They're coaching for their jobs. They know it. And maybe Sam's the best guy, like, as far as that goes right now. But I think, like, if Paul knew he was going to be here for the next 5 years, I think he'd absolutely be playing Lane.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes coaches get too caught up on guys that know the offense rather than just letting guys that know how to play football.
Yeah.
So, certain guys are just football players. That's my take. I think Sam knows the offense. I think he does some good things, but I don't think he's a football player.
Guys, we're at an hour.
Yeah. I mean, Lanning, like, if he doesn't know the offense, he shouldn't be out there. I agree with that, but yeah. Why would you not know the offense?
Yeah, and I have a hard time believing he does. And okay, simplify it for him.
Yeah.
Simplify
it. Not knowing the offense is different than not like being where they want you to be as far as picking up blitzes and stuff like that, which Sam doesn't do well anyway. So I don't know.
That's just it. Like, Sam doesn't do a whole lot of things well. So who cares if Lanning goes in there and
the
also
one thing
doesn't
that Sam
well.
Did really
I mean,
well was run, and they don't let him run anymore. So
yeah,
and not turn the ball over, which he's done.
But at some point, you would think you need to get a little bit prepped for next year. And giving Lanning some time. That helps. It does help to get him in some games, some serious action, not one touchdown and see ya.
Yeah.
All right, boys. That's a good podcast today.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was fine.
Sorry for all of you that hate it when we're sports heavy, because that's exactly what we just did.
It's sports season. I mean, hopefully in about a month we can talk about stuff a little bit more positive in basketball season.
I'm open after Vegas and after your trip. That podcast
is
nothing but that. Like a recap of those weekends.
Who do we play that week? November 7th. Is that Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. At Oklahoma.
Oh, we'll beat them. So we'll be talking about how it's the first time we beat them in like 55 years.
Yeah.
See you, boys. MarkCharter.com. Later.